Principle. That's the title. That's what we're going to be looking at today as we continue to go through the book of Mark together. We're going to be talking about three different parables that Jesus talked. And when I read through these parables this week, just that theme that came out to me is this theme of unstoppable. I think that's part of what Jesus was communicating when he told these parables. Before we jump into that this morning, though, I just want to talk about a couple things. So last weekend, we had Phil Spolster come in. He did kind of a church revitalization with us weekend. He did some time with us pastors, with the staff, with the board. And really, the whole point and purpose and thrust of it was a little bit what he spoke last Sunday, this idea of turning our minds and our faces outward to the world, that the church doesn't exist just for us. In fact, we exist for the world, for us to be looking outward to communicate the message of Jesus Christ, which is what we're going to be talking about today in Mark 4. So it was really, really challenging. In many ways, for me as a pastor, a lot of it was kind of a reinforcement and a sharpening for us in regards to what we're here for. You know, in many ways, my heart is that Gateway would be a place that unchurched people can feel comfortable and would want to come to. And so in terms of how we do church and how we do ministry, that we would be outward focused. I believe that we have the most important message in the world. I believe that the message of the church and the message of Jesus is the most important message that anybody can hear. And so for us, it's what are we willing to do or what can we do to be getting that message out? Because I really believe in the vision of the church, which is in big letters, you know, in on the wall, in the back, to see lives transformed by becoming followers of Jesus. And so it's not just about us following Jesus, but wanting to see as many people as possible following Jesus. And so doing ministry through a lens of how is someone who's not used to coming to church, when they walk in through the doors, are we doing things in such a way that would make sense to them? We also did a survey, and some of you guys filled out that online survey, and we got the results. And I just wanted to let you know that us, as a church leadership team, we're going over those results, and really wanting to hear what God has to say through the body of Christ, through us. I think the Holy Spirit speaks through the church, not just through the leadership, but through the church. And so we're going to go through that and asking God, what is it you have to say to us through this? It's giving us some interesting feedback in terms of our strengths and our weaknesses. Although I have to admit that as I go through it, there's sections in there where people can put their thoughts and their comments. And as I read through it as a pastor, I do have to admit that some of the stuff in there is a little bit preference driven. What comes out of us is things like, I want church to be like this. Why? Because that's what I like. So I have to admit that as I go through it, it's like not everything is going to be listened to quite as loudly as other things. When I read through it, I see, oh, okay, that's your preference. I get that. But is that what we should be doing to reach out towards it? Is that what we need, what God wants us to do? And so we have to sort through those things. A couple of weeks ago as well, we had our annual general meeting. And Catherine Jepson, who is our children's ministry coordinator, let everybody know, which I think they get, is that she's pregnant. And she continues to show that. And she's going to be, her and Cam are going to be having their second child in June. And along comes with that is greater responsibilities as a mother. So towards the end of April, Catherine is going to be phasing out of heading up our children's ministry. And so that led us down a path. And you know, as different leadership needs to rise up, and for those of you who are at the AGM, you guys already know this. But for those of you who weren't, I just wanted to let you know that we're bringing Brandon Mistel on staff at the church. Brandon, where are you? There he is. Come on down. So most of you guys know Brandon. He's been really involved here in the church already for a long time. And it's kind of been going on. Your involvement has ramped up and up. And it became obvious that it made sense that he comes on. He's going to be on a part-time basis because he is a university student as well. But he's going to be doing a couple different things, which is really interesting. He's slowly going to be diving into the children's ministry downstairs more and more. And so he's going to be overseeing our children's ministry. And he's also going to be putting in some more time in helping us with our music ministry. So it's kind of like interesting, two like opposite kind of ministries, but we're excited to see what that's going to look like. Why don't we introduce ourselves?
Yeah. Well, I know a good amount of you, but definitely not everybody. I've actually been going to attend this church for 10 years. So yeah, I've been attending church for the 10 years here, and I've had the opportunity to intern with the youth, to intern with children's ministry, and to also intern with folks like them. God's been kind of steering me towards ministry for a while now, and I've been kind of searching and trying to find, you know, what that looks like, and you know, just what I'm going to do with my life. I did business school for a long time, but I didn't quite feel called to that, and now I'm actually in the education program up at CIU. So doing the elementary education program. And so while doing that, it kind of really ties into serving downstairs and kind of guiding and working with Catherine and just pouring into those kids. I love working with kids. I love seeing them grow and just experience the love of God, and those things are so important to them. I know I can think back to the moments where I was into ministry and in youth. I can think back to those things, and they're still foundational. And then when you walk through different things in your life, you can think back and hold on to those things. So I went to Bethel Worship School last summer, and it was an amazing opportunity. I really felt that was the time, and God really kind of put on my heart that, you know, ministry is going to be a large part of what I do. And the blending of ministry and education is going to be, I don't necessarily know exactly what that looks like, but I'm super excited to explore that. I love to see just our church and everybody and the church just walking in the fullness of everything that God has for us, and just walking in that freedom. So I'm excited for the opportunity, and yeah, can't wait for much more.
Thanks, Brandon. Yeah, in my time here at Gateway, it's been really awesome to get to know Brandon, just to see him grow. And I really think for him, this is kind of the next step for him, and I think it's going to be really good. I love his heart for God, and he's going to be a huge help here at the church. Also, wanted to let you know, some of you guys wonder about the leadership of the church, and oftentimes we don't talk about the church board. And so I wanted to show you guys, put a little bit of a picture. Can you find that picture there, Ben, of the church board? At the AGM, we had some new church board members. Hopefully you can see those beautiful faces up there. Four of the church board members have already been serving. So that's Ryan and Paul and Natalie and Cam. And at the annual general meeting, Larry and Bill were also voted onto the church board. So these are men and women who are elected by the church membership to help me as the lead pastor to kind of oversee the spiritual life of the church. They help oversee some of the practical aspects of church, like the building. The board helps, like, there's different renovations that are going on. You might have noticed if you went to the women's bathroom, it's looking a little bit different. And we're in the middle of a little bit of a renovation in the women's bathroom. We're about halfway done. It's not completely finished yet, but it will get done. And so the board helps me with things like that, as well as just kind of general oversight, vision, and direction for the life of the church. So if you're wondering who they are, that's who those wonderful people are. They are behind the scenes helping me and the church staff lead. All right, I'm going to go back to Unstoppable now. weeks ago, we dove into one of Jesus' very first parables. Oftentimes when you look in your Bible in Mark chapter 4, it's called the parable of the sower. It's about Jesus telling a story about how the Word of God goes out like a farmer. He goes out scattering his seed. The Word of God goes out like scattered seed. And it falls on different types of soils. And he talks about four different soils that this seed falls on. He talks about sometimes it falls on a hard-packed soiled ground. Maybe people have walked over it a bunch, and so the seed falls on that, and it doesn't germinate, it doesn't grow. The birds of the air come and eat that seed. Sometimes the seed falls on shallow soil, where it germinates and grows up, but when the heat of the day shines down upon those young plants, they die because underneath that shallow soil is maybe just rock and gravel, and so it doesn't survive. Sometimes the Word of God, as seed goes out, and it falls on good soil, but there's also weeds in that soil, and the weeds choke out the Word of God. Sometimes the seed falls on really, really good soil, and it produces a harvest 10, 20, 30, 100 times as much as what has been sown. The point of that parable to shape it up really, really quickly for you is this idea that God wants to send out His Word into the hearts of people like you and me. Sometimes our heart is good soil, and it falls on good soil, and it produces a good harvest. Sometimes our hearts aren't quite ready for the Word of God, and it doesn't produce what we hope it would. Today, from that parable, Jesus goes into three other parables, and I believe that they are connected. One is about light, one is, again, about soil and seed, and one is about a small seed that grows into a great big tree. Jesus talked a lot about light, and I think that it was a really, really good illustration, a parable that he used when he talked about light. Light is interesting. Without light, it's something that we take for granted. But without the light of the sun, the plants of the earth wouldn't grow. Without the light of the sun, we wouldn't have warmth. And we're experiencing that now, isn't it? As the snow is melting and finally that the light of that sun is bringing spring along. Without the warmth of the sun, none of us would even be alive today. Without the light of the sun, we wouldn't be able to see where we go. We wouldn't be able to see where we're walking. And light is something that we take a little bit for granted because even when we turn our lights out at night, there's still usually a little bit of light there shining, isn't there? Whether it's from the moon and the stars reflecting the sun, whether it's like the street lamps outside your house at night shining into your house, or maybe a night light that you have. Whatever it is, there's always a little bit of light, but when it's pitch black, you can't see anything. And you're a little bit hesitant to even walk around, because what are you going to bump into? What's going to stub your toe on? My wife Catherine isn't here today, so I can't completely embarrass her, but like, you know, she's the kind of person, we always joke about it, she's always stubbing her toes. Like, always. So, like, if the lights are out in the house and she's gotten out of bed, she's wandering around, guarantee she's going to stub her toe every single time. I mean, you can count on it. If she's walking between the bathroom and her bed at night, she's going to stub her toe. And we're always joking about this, about how it's amazing that, like, she hasn't broken all of her toes already because she's always stubbing her toes. Jesus dives into this with a parable. Won't you read it with me today? It's Mark 4, verses 21. It says, "Then Jesus asked them, 'Would anyone light a lamp and then put it under a basket or under a bed?' Of course not. A lamp is placed on a stand where its light will shine. For everything that is hidden will eventually be brought into the open. And every secret will be brought to light. Anyone with ears to hear, listen and understand.' Then he added, 'Pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given, and you will receive even more. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be given away.'" Very similar to the last parable that we read a couple weeks ago, the sower and the seed. He's like, hey, you guys got to listen. Open up your ears. Open up not just your physical ears, but your spiritual ears to hear what I have to say. If you can get it, if you can incorporate into your life, I'm going to give you even more. But if your spiritual ears are turned off and you're not hearing it, then what you have is probably going to be taken away. Like the birds of the air are going to come and pluck that seed out. Listen to what I have to say. He uses this illustration or this parable of a lamb, which I think for us to fully understand these parables, we have to go back to that original parable a couple weeks ago that we said about the sower and the seed. What is Jesus talking about? He's talking about the Word of God. He's talking about the words of Jesus that go out into the world. He's talking about the message of Jesus. It's interesting, though, because Jesus was also called the Word of God. Right? John chapter 1, John, the disciple of Jesus, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, the Word was God, referring to Jesus. That Word of Jesus and the life of Jesus is going to go out. In this parable, he uses a lamp. When we think of lamps, oftentimes we think of the ones that we have, right? In the 21st century, you go and you click it, or you hit in the knob, or you know, even in today's day and age, you can just take your phone these days and like, or clap your hands. Remember that old commercial, clap on, clap off? Anyways, in the first century, when Jesus was talking about lamps, he was talking a little bit more about things like this. This is what a lamp was. First century Israel. It was a little clay jar that was created to hold oil. And there'd be a little wick in it. And that oil is what would light the lamp. They would light that wick, and it was the oil that was burning that would create light. They'd have these around the house, and this is how they could see at night. And I think Jesus is saying the Word of God going out, it's a little bit like this lamp. And if I could dive into this story that Jesus is telling, I think what he's saying is like the Word of God is being brought forth by you and me. We're a little bit like that little clay jar. Jesus oftentimes talks about where the Holy Spirit is referred to in the Bible as the oil of the Spirit. Oftentimes that jar would hold an olive oil. That's what they were burning, was olive oil. And the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of God, is represented by that oil. But we can see it as the Word of God, as the oil. And we are those clay jars that are holding that oil, the Word of God. And that fire comes onto that wick, and it lights it up, and it brings light into the house. It brings light into the world. And he's saying, you know what, you can take that lamp and you can try and cover it, but that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. A lamp like this, if you're covering it, you're going to create a little bit of a mess. It's going to create smoke within the house. It's going to snuff out the light. The purpose of the lamp is to shine brightly in a dark world. And Jesus in the parable, he's like, you can't stop the light. The light is just going to go out, and it's going to reveal truth into the world. The Word of God, the words of Jesus, the life of Jesus is meant to go out into the world. The world without the words of Jesus, the world without Jesus is an incredibly dark place. And Jesus' every intention is that we would hold the Word of God within our lives. The purpose of a lamp is to be used. As that lamp is burnt, that oil slowly goes down, down, down. And in this parable, Jesus says at the end, hey, if you're listening and understand, I'm going to give you even more. It's almost this idea that you're holding the Word of God within yourself. You're not supposed to hold it. You're supposed to use it. Get that Word of God out into the world. And as you do it, I'm going to pour more oil back in. I'm going to give you even more. Don't cover it. Let it go out. I know as Christians, we talk a lot oftentimes about parables like this and how we're supposed to take the Word of God, let our light shine. And if you're a little bit like me, there are oftentimes that I am unsure about that. There's situations where I'm sure about that, and I literally do. There have been times in my life where I want to cover my lamp. Cover my lamp. I'm a little bit unsure about myself. I'm a little bit maybe even unsure about whether or not people are going to accept the message of what I'm trying to give out. And I'm hesitant. Jesus is like, don't be hesitant. Let your light shine. Let your light shine. This word needs to go out into the world. Let it shine. From there, he jumps into another parable about the growing seed in verse 26. Let's read that together. Jesus also said, the kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, while he is asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows. And he does not understand how it happens. The earth produces the crops on its own. First, the leaf blade pushes through, then the heads of wheat are formed. And finally, the grain ripens. And as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle. The harvest. Once again, he goes back to a parable about agriculture, about farmers. It's like, hey, the kingdom of God is like this. This is how the kingdom of God is going to grow. Jesus was building his own kingdom, his own spiritual kingdom. He's like, it's going to be like this. The farmer goes out and scatters seed. And that seed falls on the ground and it starts germinating. And the farmer has no idea how it happens, but it just happens. Now, it's interesting, I was reading that this week. I'm like, I think today in the 21st century, we have a greater idea of how agriculture works, the understanding of science is great. We understand how the seed germinates and grows, and we get that process a little bit better. 2,000 years ago, the farmer probably didn't quite understand in scientific terms how it happened. All he knew was that when he put out that seed and it fell into the ground, something was going to happen. Don't understand how it happens, but it's going to happen. I was reading it this week, and I was like, man, God, you are so good. I felt like God was communicating to me and saying, you know what? If you are just faithful, if the church is faithful, the people of God are faithful, just scatter my word. You're not going to get it. You're not going to fully understand it. But there's a growth that happens. Yeah, sometimes it doesn't fall on good soil, but other times it falls on really, really good soil and it produces a harvest that's going to blow your mind. Something supernatural is happening here, I believe Jesus is saying. You don't understand it, God understands it, but it's not up to you to create the growth. It's up to you to scatter it. He's saying, church, here to stay. Scatter the seed of the Word of God. To be bold in proclaiming my good news to people. It's going to produce a harvest. You can't stop it. You can't stop it. It's going to produce a harvest. I think that when Jesus told this parable, I think that his listeners were connecting it potentially to Isaiah 55. This is a scripture that was written literally hundreds of years before Jesus from the prophet Isaiah. And he says this, as the rain and snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth, they cause the grain to grow, produces seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. The same with my word. Send it out, it always produces seed. It will accomplish all I want of you, and it will prosper everywhere. Read this and it's reminding you that God's like, I'm going to make this happen. You're not making this happen. I know. I just want you to partner with me. Say, can you come alongside and partner with me? I don't need you, but I want you. Come with me and let me do this together. I think sometimes when it comes to the Word of God, even within our own lives, at times we wonder, God, is it making a difference? Maybe you come to church week after week after week, and after a while, you start questioning your mind, what is the use of this? Maybe you've read the Bible before, and you've read all of it, and you're like, man, I've already read that story. Pastor Matt, you're telling me something I've already heard. And you're like, man, I've sang these worship songs before. And you really, really wonder, is this making a difference in my life? And I think that Jesus would say to you, man, if you can just put your faith in me, if you could just dive deeper, if you can accept this word, is the soul of your heart ready to receive the word of God? And if you can just put your faith in him, there's going to be a harvest if you don't grow weary. Continue to come to me. Continue to read my word. Continue to come to church and receive the word of God, because there is going to be a harvest that is produced in your life. And then he goes on to this last parable here in verse 30. So Jesus said, how can I describe the kingdom of God? Do you know what sure Jesus is speaking about this? I want to communicate this even clearer to you. How can I describe the kingdom of God? What story should I use? It's like a mustard seed planted in the ground. It's the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of all garden plants. It grows long branches and birds to make nests in its shade. Jesus used many similar stories and illustrations to teach the people as much as they could understand. In fact, in his public ministry, he never taught without using parables, but afterwards he was alone at his disciples. How can I explain this to you? I just want you guys to get it. He uses this illustration of a mustard seed. I was reading this week today. The story of Nike came into my mind. Nike, you know, our running shoes that we wear. Back in the 60s, there was a guy by the name of Phil Knight and Bill Bowerman. Phil Knight was a track runner. I don't know if he was much of a star, but he was a track runner at the University of Oregon. And Bill Bowerman was his coach. And together, they were kind of like, man, these running shoes that we use for track, they're just not that good. And they start putting their heads together, and they end up creating their own running shoes. Eventually, at first, they got them, you know, sent by a company in Japan. That picture on the left there is some of the first running shoes that Nike created back in the 60s. That company that they started, Nike, was kind of like that small seed, that mustard seed that was planted in the ground. And I'm sure when people first were buying shoes out of the trunk of their car, that's what it was a trunk of the car, kind of like buying jewelry out of the van down by the river. You know, trust it. Buying shoes, like no one would ever thought that little mustard seed would grow into a billion-dollar company. I mean, Nike is the most well-known shoe maker in the world today. That little seed that was planted into the ground. After years of strong growth and struggles to stay in the black, Knight said this, that in December of 1990, they finally decided to take Nike public. So up until 1980, it was a private company. It was just Phil Knight, Phil Bowerman, family, selling shoes. They struggled up until 1980. And then in 1980, they decided, you know, we're going to take this public, which means we're going to sell it on the stock market, which means you can buy shares, you can buy a portion of the company. Anybody in the world can go on the stock market and buy shares. Because that was the defining moment for them when they went public and it blew up to the company that it was. Jesus is describing these the kingdom of God to his disciples. He's like, it's kind of like a farmer sowing seed. It's kind of like a lamp. It's kind of like this mustard seed. Jesus carried the kingdom of God within him. And finally he said, you know what, guys? I want to take this public. I don't want to be the only one carrying this. I want you to carry the kingdom of God within you. Taking it public. And it was the best thing to do with him. Because I want to place the Holy Spirit within you. This is going to be so big. It seems so small. But it's going to grow into the biggest tree that you've ever seen. Can you show that slide? Oh, there it is. So there you see it, that little mustard seed on that finger. And it grows into this bush. The religious and political leaders of Jesus' day were certain that that little seed, the kingdom of God that Jesus was talking about, was going to be. You read in the book of Acts that the disciples were being persecuted and the leaders were coming together and they're like, hey, what's going to happen is like what always happens with these spiritual leaders. We kill their leader and eventually the spiritual movement is going to disperse. We don't have to wait. Jesus says, no, this little seed is going to go into the ground and it's going to die and it's going to produce something that's far greater. So the birds of the air are going to nest. Today in the 21st century, people are still predicting that this movement called Christianity is eventually going to die. Still predicting it. You can see its predictions. You can see what people are predicting by watching the movies that are in Hollywood. If you look at the movies that are coming out in terms of futuristic movies, what the future is going to look like, whether we're living on Mars or whatever, the future that we are shown in the movie theater is that it's a society free of religion. It's a society free of Christianity. And people have been predicting it for 2,000 years. My kingdom is going to become so good. And exactly what Jesus predicted as. The word of God continues to go out, continues to land on soil that is ready to be. Mustard seed is really, really interesting. I think that Jesus used this illustration of the mustard seed not just for its size, but it's also for its benefits. You know that the mustard seed has a ton of benefits to the human body. This is a list of all the benefits of mustard seed. It's good for cancer treatment. It inhibits the growth of cancer cells within our bodies. It helps with rheumatic arthritis. Mustard is a source of relief to our joints that are struggling with arthritis. Mustard also helps with migraines. It reduces migraines, the pain of migraines. When scientists study the mustard seed, they say there's nutrients within the mustard seed that prevents disease within the human body. There's dietary fiber in it that helps with our digestion in the body. The mustard seed lowers blood pressure. And it's interesting, it also helps with menopausal relief. Mustard seed helps with asthma, the prevention of asthma attacks. It's also good for your skin. It's good for your hair. It removes odor. Well, just mustard seed rubbing on your armpits. It relieves muscle pain. It treats colds. It treats back pain. It treats fever. I mean, the list goes on. This is the benefits of mustard seed. And I look at this and I think, like, Jesus is so smart. He's like, man, my kingdom is like a small little mustard seed in it, and it's going to be planted in the soil. It's going to create this gigantic big tree that creates other mustard seeds. But you know what's amazing? He's like, the benefits of my kingdom to you and to the world, the list goes on and on and on. to accept the kingdom of God within your life, the benefits for you are amazing. Most of you probably in this room looked at me and said, man, I had no idea that mustard had that many benefits. I'm going to be putting that kind of mustard on my hot dogs from now on. But this is the thing. I think it relates to the world. I think in general, the world does not fully grasp the benefits of the kingdom of God. Just like this tree is going to grow, and now it has so many benefits for you, and it has so many benefits for the world. You just accept the word of God. So here's a few takeaways that I'm going to throw up there on the screen for you. A couple of questions I want to ask you. Are you allowing the Word of God in your life to produce fruit? Are you allowing it? Are you cultivating the soil of your heart? If you're a follower, you need to accept that Word. Are you letting the Word of God within you to shine forth? He said, don't cover it up. Don't cover up that lamp. You are that lamp. Do not cover it up. Are you letting it shine forth? Or do you go into the world and you're like, man, I'm going to try and keep it quiet, keep it simple, just try and live out my life in front of people? I think Jesus would challenge you to say, no, it's not just about living out a good Christian life. It's like sometimes you have to let the Word of God out of your mouth. And this last question here is, maybe you're here and you're not a follower of Jesus. And the question would be, have you allowed the life of Jesus to death? We look for all sorts of solutions to the problems of our lives. A lot of self-help. Jesus is like, will you allow me with no idea that I get what I have to do? I died for you. I died for your sins. I came to set you free.